we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And we're going to leave off reading there. I just couldn't stop. It was just so good. And it gets better. But we don't have time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you have provided for us in our salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that from time to time, the Holy Spirit makes truths known to us that we didn't know about when we knelt that day and accepted you as our Savior. And it just makes our salvation that much more special and that much more precious when we find and learn about these wonderful truths in the Word of God. And I pray you'd help us tonight as we look here in chapter number 5 concerning justification. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. All right, I do want to preach a message tonight on the results of justification or justification. The definition of justification is to be accounted righteous. To be accounted righteous and to be treated so by God. In other words, when you got saved, God accounted you righteous. He forgave you of your sins. He washed those sins away. They're never to be remembered against you ever again. Completely justified, just as if, in other words, it's as if you never did anything wrong. You never sinned. In fact, when we got saved, a lot of these truths we didn't know about. All we knew is that we were a sinner and that we needed to get saved. But after we get saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit at the very moment that we get saved. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He teaches us all things. We read the Word of God. And whereas before we got saved, we couldn't understand the Word of God because it was spiritually discerned. But now that we're saved, we begin to learn some things and understand some things about what really happened that day when we got saved by the grace of God. And one of those things, of course, is justification. We find out that we've been justified. We find out that that means that we've been accounted righteous by God. And the record has been cleared. There is no record anymore. It's completely gone. You know, it's not just as far as the east is from the west. It's not just in the sea of God's forgiveness. It's not just behind his back. But it's gone. Completely gone. The record is that there is no record. There's no record of my past sins. I'm justified. And it says, accounted righteous and to be treated so by God. Now, those of you that hadn't been saved very long, you probably got some friends and family members that still is fresh on their mind what kind of life you lived before you got saved. And they remember that, and they're probably wondering about you. They're probably wondering how long you're going to last. They're wondering if what you got was really real. They really don't treat you like you're really saved, like you really your sins have been washed away. You're not treated that way. There may be somebody that might bring that past up to you from time to time. Things maybe that you've done even since you got saved, but you've gotten forgiveness for it. God's forgiven you, cleansed you with His blood, and as far as God's concerned, never happened. And you see, but people don't treat us that way, but God does. God treats us as if we never did anything wrong. We can get on our knees and come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And He accepts us in. He accepts us in. We're part of the beloved. We're part of the family. We're part of the family of God. When my mother was alive, when I went home, I didn't have any problem going right into the refrigerator and getting anything I wanted, because that was my mom. That was my house. My mama's house was my house. And my children the same way. When they come to my house, everything I've got's theirs. They just come in and help theirselves. I told that to a boy on the bus the other day, Brother Mike. He asked me something. I said, "Help yourself." He said, "What?" I said, "Help yourself." He said, "What?" I said, "Help yourself." He said, "What does that mean?" I said, "That means if you feel like doing it, do it. Just help yourself." And he acted like I was speaking some kind of foreign language. But God treats us as if we have been justified. In other words, we can help ourselves. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and help ourselves. Now, in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24, we find that the source of justification is God's grace. God's grace. The Bible says they're being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So that is the source of our justification, is the grace of God. That's the free gift of God, is the source of our justification. And then the basis of justification is the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." So the source of our justification is God's grace. God is gracious to us. That word grace is also translated in your King James Bible as goodness, and in several other ways. But it's the goodness of God, and it is the free gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not a one of us in here tonight that could stand and tell us anything about your family or your standing in the community or what you've done in the church that has allowed you this position that you have, this justification that you possess. No, it's nothing. It's not about us. It's all about Him. It is by the grace of God. And then the basis is the blood of Christ. Jesus shed His blood on Calvary to purchase for us this justification that we enjoy tonight. To be justified. We are justified by His blood, according to Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. And then the guarantee of justification is the resurrection of Christ. That's the guarantee that we have been justified. And Romans chapter number 4 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Because Jesus lives, we have a guarantee that we have been justified. I mean, you can't get a better guarantee than that. I mean, our justification is guaranteed. Fact is, Paul made this statement about the resurrection. If there be no resurrection, your faith is vain and our preaching is vain. You're yet in your sins. But thank God I'm not in my sins anymore. My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. And the guarantee of our justification is that Jesus resurrected the third day. There's a fellow preaching one time about Jonah being swallowed by a whale. And he said, I'm not real sure that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And there was a preacher sitting there listening to him preach. And he spoke up and said, read your Bible. Because Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, of the whale. And so the Bible says Jonah was swallowed by a whale. But Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And on that third and glorious day, he came up. And when he came up, he signified that everything the Bible had to say about him was true. Everything that he had said about himself was true. Everything that the prophets had said about him was true. Everything that the New Testament saints had said about him was true. He got up on the third day and he made by that resurrection, he said, because I live, you too shall live. He guaranteed, he put the guarantee on our justification. Then we have the channel of justification. How do you get justified? The channel of justification is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 that we read just a little bit ago, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The channel of justification is faith. And by the way, it's not your faith that gets the job done. It's the faith that God gives you according to Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9. And God gave you faith to believe. You didn't even have faith to believe. God gave you faith to believe. And you believed God. And you've been believing Him ever since you got saved. Now notice with me now that now that we are saved and we've been justified by faith, there are some things that we have that justification gives us. The first one we see is in verse number 1. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace. Well, I thank God for peace. Peace is something that the world cannot give you. Peace is something that cannot be purchased. You can't buy it. You can't go down to the drugstore and go down a certain aisle and expect to find peace on sale. It's not on sale. Peace comes from one person, one place, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And He can give you peace. I heard a testimony recently of a man who somebody was witnessing to him, and he had had people witness to him at different occasions. But on this occasion, the person that was witnessing to him said, you can have peace. He said, you know, when he made that statement, when he said, you can have peace, he said, my life was in turmoil. He said, my life was a wreck, was in a mess. And when that person said, you can have peace, he said, that got my attention. Because I wanted peace. Isn't it wonderful that we can lay our head on our pillow tonight with peace in our heart? To know that if we don't open up our eyes another day or take another breath, that we know everything's okay. That's peace. Hey, isn't it peaceful, Miss Hazel, to know that you know where Brother Jerry's at? That's peace. The only peace that they can give you that is the peace that the Lord Jesus. Like Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Let's turn to John chapter number 14. Let me find that verse. What verse is that? John 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I don't know what verse that is. It's 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes our hearts do get troubled from time to time about situations, things that are going on in our lives, things that are going on in our families' lives. But hey, we that are God's people, we know where to get peace. We know where to get comfort. We know where to get the help that we need, the calmness that only the Lord Jesus can give. The Bible calls it a peace that passeth understanding. I'm telling you, God's people have a peace that this world doesn't know anything about because they don't know the Prince of Peace. They don't know the Giver of Peace. But you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace. We have peace. We can have wonderful peace. That's what the songwriter said. Wonderful peace. There's nothing like it in all the world. And it's given to us by grace, just by faith. The Lord Jesus showers us with that peace. But then notice we have position in verse number 2. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. We have position. Since we got saved, before we got saved, we didn't have position. We didn't have any place. I mean, the devil tries to paint us a pretty picture that he has so much to offer, but all of his offers have holes in it, and his offers they'll run dry, and when they run dry, and he's zapped you of every ounce of strength and talent and ability that you have, then he'll just leave you to yourself. And just leave you in a ruined state, a ruined and depressed and no position in life. I tell you what, there's a lot of people that thought they had position in this world. But the devil got them and bound them up in the chains of sin and ruined them. But I'm going to tell you what, God's not in the business of ruining people. God's not in the business of seeing people go down. God's not in the business of wrecking and ruining your life. No, God's in the business of giving people position in life. I'm going to tell you something. If you want real position in life, then you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He'll give you position. He said, this grace wherein we stand. We stand. We have position tonight. Hey, you're something special tonight if you're saved by the grace of God. And so then we have also not only peace and position, but we have prospect in verse number 2. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm telling you something. I have a hope beyond this world. This world doesn't have much to offer me. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. This is just our temporary dwelling place. But we're going to a land that's fairer than day. One of these days, we're going to be with our Savior, the one who died for us. We have the blessed hope of the redeemed is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. This world is getting more wicked every day. I mean, it's the sin of Lot's day. The sin of Noah's day was rejecting preaching. And you know, Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, and the day we're living in today is like the days of Noah in that people are rejecting preaching. And I talked to a pastor on the phone today, and he preaches several meetings around the country. And he told me, he said, Brother Ben, the churches that I go into that used to have people in the pews, he said, the pews are starting to look empty. The reason is because we're living in these last days, people are rejecting preaching. But Jesus also said that it would be like it was in the days of Lot. Now, what was the sin of Lot's day? The sin of Lot's day was a sin of sexual perversion. And are we not living in those days today? I'm telling you, we are. I got little elementary kids getting on my bus talking about the names that the world calls them, lesbians and gays. The Bible terminology is sodomites. They're sodomites. I got little old elementary kids and middle school kids getting on the bus and talking about it. I told one of them about my daughter getting married. And she said, does she have any kids by him? And I said, we don't do that. I said, we get married, then we have kids. And so every now and then I get to help them youngins with a few truths of life. You get married, then you have children. I'm going to tell you something. Any relations outside of the bonds of holy matrimony between a man and a woman is a sin against God. And the fact is, you sin against your own body. You don't really realize what you're doing when you go into that realm. And so we have a prospect. I don't know how I got off on that, but we have a prospect that we rejoice in the hope. I was talking about the last day. Jesus is soon coming. I'm telling you, I don't know. I guess it was this bad in the days of Lot. I guess it was. I guess it was real bad when God decided he'd had enough in Noah's day and decided to destroy every living thing. Boy, that was a judgment of God, wasn't it? God decided, it got so bad that God decided it was enough. Noah was a preacher of righteousness and nobody believed him. They rejected his preaching. And we're living in the same in the same situation. I tell you, I'd hate to think that a man like Lot, when those sodomites came to the door and said, "Give us those men," and Lot would be so vile that he would offer his daughters to those wicked men. But I'm going to tell you, somebody asked me the other day, do you think we're there yet? I don't know if we're there yet, but we're awful close. We're awful close. There's a lot of the wickedness is on every hand. But we have a prospect. We have a hope of the glory of God. Jesus is coming again. Just any day now, Jesus is coming again. Just any day now, we're going to hear the trumpet sound and we're going to get out of here. We're going to leave this old world far behind. All right, not only that, in verse number 5, we have power. Through justification, we have power. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Don't let that scare you. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit's the same person. And I tell you what, if we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have the Holy Ghost. We're going to have to be filled with the Spirit of God. We'll not accomplish anything without the power of the Spirit of God. And I know that's one thing that I myself am missing. I believe our pulpits are missing it. I believe our singers are missing it. I believe our Sunday school teachers are missing it. I believe our churches are missing it. I'm telling you, we need the power of the Holy Ghost if we're going to accomplish anything for the glory of God. It's available to us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He said, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If you're saved this morning, you have the greatest power that's ever been dwelling in you tonight. There's no hydrogen bomb. There's no atom being split. There's nothing that is more powerful than the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And every one of us that's saved here tonight, we possess that power. The question is, does He possess us? That's my problem. I don't know about you, but that's my problem. What's your problem? And then we have pardon. I got to wrap it up. We have pardon. Verse number 9. Said, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I have been pardoned. I have been pardoned as a result of justification. I will not have to face the judgment of God. As Brother Tim said a while ago, we do not have to go to hell. We've been pardoned. The record has been made clear. It's clear. There is no record of our sin. We've been pardoned. I wonder tonight, have you been pardoned? Have you been justified? I mean, as I've been preaching here tonight, maybe most of it, if you're here and you're not saved, probably most of it didn't make much sense to you at all. Except maybe the Holy Spirit of God has been speaking to your heart tonight and letting you know that you're missing out on something. You're missing out on something. Have you been pardoned? I ask you that question tonight. Have you been pardoned? Are you living up to your birthright? Are we living up to our birthright? What do you mean by that, Brother Ben? I'm telling you, we've been bought with a great price. We have been justified by His blood. We have access to the Father, unfettered access. He treats us like we had never sinned. Are we availing ourselves to that? Are we availing ourselves to the benefits that we have because we're saved? Are we really reaching out to others and letting them know that they can have what we have? Most of us through the day, we look so sour through the day, or maybe our actions are so bad, nobody around us wants what we got. Oh, if that's your case tonight, then maybe you can find you a place here on the altar and say, Lord, I'd like to shape up a little bit. I'd like to clean up a little bit and live for You and serve You until You come. Because I'm telling you, He's coming. Are you ready to meet Him? Have you been pardoned? Are you justified? If you are, rejoice in it. If you're not, tonight be a good night to get saved. Let's stand with the heads bowed and our eyes closed to pray. Brother Tim's going to come with an invitation. You got Brother Scott doing that. Do you want to handle the invitation, Brother Tim? Okay. All right, every head's bowed and every eye's closed. I just wonder, as a testimony tonight, the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed. If you've been saved tonight and you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven because you've been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have that assurance tonight, would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? God bless you. Hands all over the building. I said it like that because I didn't want to embarrass anybody. We thank you for raising your hand. But I had you take him right back down real quick because I didn't want to embarrass anybody. There might have been somebody that couldn't raise their hand. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your heart tonight. You realize as she begins to play the invitation song for us, maybe you realize tonight that you need to be saved. Maybe you realize maybe that tonight that you have sinned against God, you realize you're a sinner, and that someday you're going to have to meet God. You don't want to meet God like you are. And I wonder if you'd let us pray for you tonight. If there's anybody here tonight, say, Brother Ben, I don't believe I've ever been saved, but I'm concerned about it. And I'm so concerned about it that I'll raise my hand and ask you to pray for me. Anybody like that tonight, slip your hand up and let us pray for you. Anybody in the service tonight? I thought I might have saw a hand. I thought I might have saw a hand just out of the corner of my eye. Would there be anybody else? Would there be anybody else? Say, Brother Ben, tonight you preached about justification. To be declared righteous. I don't think that's ever happened to me before, Brother Ben. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and let us pray for you? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thought I might have saw one hand raised tonight to that question. I pray that you'd help them to realize they're among friends, people that care about them and would love to see them get saved by the grace of God. I pray as we sing a verse of this hymn, if you've touched somebody's heart, that they would come to this old-fashioned altar, get saved before it's eternally too late. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Scott, let's sing a verse of the song. God spoke to your heart. The altar is open. Why don't you come?
Us grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was shed. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
If you're glad you saved tonight, say amen.
Amen. Amen. Stay where you are. Don't go anywhere. You know, a lot of times you hear a preacher preach, boy, he gets you. I mean, he sticks you. And you got to say, preacher, I'm guilty. Well, you know what? I'm guilty tonight. I've got peace. I've been positioned into the family of God. I've got a prospect of heaven. I got saved. I got the Holy Ghost put in me. I've got power. And I've got that pardon. He started the message. Pardon's just part of justification. I just didn't get let out of jail. I got a brand new attitude, demeanor on life. I got Christ's righteousness put on me. And I know it's 6 minutes after eight. They're going to dismiss over there. 9 minutes, maybe. Sometimes we got to wait. But Scott, what page is that? 230. I want you to get your book. It's good not to be guilty about what the preacher preached about. Brother Ben, that's good. Boy, God's blessed us. I was thinking Sunday night, the preacher preached. He kept going on about how ain't nobody going to buy this city. I don't know if he's ever preached a better message since he's been here. He preached Sunday night. Brother Ben, I don't know that I've heard you ever preach a better message than you preach tonight. Thank God I've been justified. Now, I want you to sing like you're justified. I don't want you to sing like you're just to something else. I'm not just. I'm justified just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I died on the cross. He paid my sin debt. I want you to focus on this thing, sing this thing. Crank her up, sing, Scott.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was shed. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
I appreciate you singing that song tonight. Scott, thank you for helping. Would to God we could just turn loose every once in a while, just worship the Lord, not be hindered by the clock or duties. Amen. Let me give you a handful of announcements. I'll do my best to speak English. I have a stack here. I don't have any particular order. Don't forget about the RSVP box on the back table for Hunter and Reagan's wedding, which is December the 15th at 6 o'clock. Those are due by the 24th, so if you're going to go, you need to register there. And then teens, you'll be meeting in the fellowship building Friday night at 6 o'clock to prepare food for the senior banquet. And since we're talking about the senior banquet, I'll remind you that you need to sign up tonight so they will know how much food to prepare. The sign-up sheet is back there. There's on this table. That's for those who are 55 and older. There's going to be some food, fellowship, a little preaching. I heard some real good singing, so keep that in mind. The ladies will meet the 17th. For their, I guess it's their regular breakfast at Strawberry Hill, 9:30. Says everyone welcome, but I believe that's ladies. All right, so men don't crash the party. Amen.